Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to find a good county to send blind offers to landowners. All this week, so I've gotten so many requests recently for some reason about, hey, how do I do this? How do I find a county? How to. So Jill and I decided to spend this week with kind of some more information, let's say, than inspiration.
How about 101? Some 101 topics.
Like how to find a county. I think next, tomorrow's on the House Academy show tomorrow, I think it's how to find a zip code to send offers for homeowners. Then how to price for the later part of the week, how to price.
What's wrong with inspirational stuff?
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. Maybe next week could be inspirational week.
If you're not inspired to pick a county, you're not. It doesn't matter what you know.
Let's keep it inspirational no matter what. But I think, maybe next week it can be all inspirational.
It's okay. It's
fine. We just got a lot of requests.
I know. We're going to do some. We have some upcoming training things that we're doing for our members, too. Like, you know, some things along this line, too. Like really in-depth sales and really in-depth pricing and other things like that. So I'm glad this all ties together.
I learned a long time ago, but I haven't accepted it until recently, that I cannot predict anything that's going to go on at Land Academy.
That's good.
I can't predict what the members want. I can't certainly
keeps it
can't,
fresh.
Can't
it's
predict
exciting.
What the employees do at all.
Does it bother you?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. I just gave up thinking that I was in control of anything.
Yeah, it's funny. It's
like a relationship.
Oh, there it goes. I was waiting for that. I was just going to say, I personally like it this way, but it took me a while to get to this point, and a lot of people can't do this or can never do it, which is change. Man, if you can't handle change around our community and our office and us, you are not going
to
make it.
We're tough to take. Is that what you're saying?
No, things change. You have to roll with it. I mean, just to put it out there, this is why we are here and why Land Academy is successful now. We figured that out. You figured it out, actually. And then I came into the picture because we were doing things, you were doing things before me in the land business one way. And then it changed.
That's right.
And
totally right,
didn't have a backup plan. We now do things, we sell property five different ways at least. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you don't do that, if one goes down, big deal. Four other will make up for it. You got all these other ways of running your business. It's not the end of the world. But if you have one sales venue and that's it, and it's like Craigslist, and heaven forbid Craigslist kicks off real estate, then what are you going to do? You know, or a credit card company. That was another one. Good example of that. You know, we for years were struggled. Like PayPal did it, then they don't. Moonclerk did, and then they didn't. And so on and so on and so on. Now we have Heartland. We have to think about it. It's all real estate upfront and honest, and we're all on the same team. But even then, I have some backups. If you don't have backups in your business, it's not going to work.
For whatever reason, this real estate business, specifically land and the internet, the world hasn't accepted it yet. And I didn't think that it would happen. I thought it eventually would happen.
Yeah. That's fine.
But it doesn't look like it's going to happen in my lifetime. So
you know what? This is totally fine because this is how I roll. You know, if I'm talking with people, say we're at, you know, some event or whatever, and, you know, it's people that don't, they're real estate people, but they don't do what we do. They look at us like we're nuts, you know, and I'm like, you know what? That's just fine. I'm quietly over here living on the beach on something
that
you
think
is stupid.
That's what I think, Jill.
And that's all I got to say.
We were at a party like 6 months ago, and somebody said, they asked us what we do. And I said, I tried to explain it. She said, you know, do you know so-and-so who lives like, you know, four blocks down? I said, no, I've never heard of the guy. And she said, you know, he sells the property that nobody else wants. I'm like, what? It kind of like sounds like they're talking about us.
Right.
Anyway, it'll never go mainstream, and that's good news for all of us.
Exactly. I'm glad.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Matt says, what's everyone's favorite response when a buyer says, what's the lowest offer, the lowest price you'd accept? I hit them with, I'm a land investor, and I know the market around here. It's priced below the comparable properties, and I'm confident it'll sell quickly at this price. Or something to that effect. That being said, I usually have some distant thoughts between my for sale price and my actual bottom number. What are your thoughts?
So this is not about numbers. I can't believe I just said that sentence. It's about how you respond from a sales and inspirational standpoint.
It's a feeling. Just kidding. I had to get that in there. It's not.
Let me set this up. Matt obviously bought a piece of property. Let's say he paid $10,000 for it. He posted it like he should, posted it everywhere on the internet, and he's selling it for $20. Some potential buyer calls him and says, "Hey, Matt, I see you're posting here. What's the bottom price that you'll actually take?" To which Jill would respond,
$20.
$20,000.
Well, you said 20. I thought you were making a joke.
Oh, no. $10,000 purchase price, $20,000 sale price.
Sorry. Okay, all right. So you did mean 20. Okay. So I'm pretty confident. I stick to my guns. If you're buying six of them, we'll talk. You're buying three of them, we'll talk. We'll see. But at that price, I'm with Matt. We all know what it's worth. And once you get in this business, we've all had times where we sold a property and maybe we even discounted it. And the next time you turn around, you're like, shoot, somebody would have paid full price in 3 days.
So this is a memorization moment. You know, we horse around a lot on the show, but I couldn't be more serious about making this point. You never want to negotiate with yourself. You bought it for $10,000. They don't know that. You posted it for sale for $20,000.
It's probably worth 30 or 40
if you've done everything that we all do at Land Academy. So this person, whoever they are, is saying, what's your bottom price? They love the negotiation. They love the whole process or whatever. Mm-hmm. Chances are they don't like the land and they don't know the research that much. What they should do is say, how do I pay for this? Mm-hmm. You never want to give them a number like $18,000. Because their response is going to be, will you take 15?
Yep. Now they got you going down.
So you've already, in every negotiation, somebody gives a number, somebody else gives a number, everybody meets in the middle. Mm-hmm. If it's any other version of that, there's a very, very high degree of percentage of it's going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and then they'll start asking for more things. Yeah, oh, will you do this for me? Will you do that for me? Will you
they're not going to buy
it. Will you have it surveyed for me? Are you really serious? Are you kidding me? No, we're not doing that. This is the price. Hey, if it doesn't work for you, I get it. Move on. Hey, what can you afford? Go look over my website. There's other properties. How about that?
The next day, someone's going to input their credit card numbers. What's going to happen if it's done all right?
Exactly.
Today's topic, how to find a good county to send blind offers to landowners. This is the meat of the show.
This is kind of a you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll just be over here. I forgot my nail polish, but I can make do.
First thing you want to do is decide. This isn't you sitting and kind of staring at a blank spreadsheet. Or maybe let's say you've gone through the Land Academy program, or maybe you haven't. But you're sitting there saying, you know what? I want to do this, and I want to send out. I want to pick a county to do this in. So what do I do? So here's the first question you have to kind of ask yourself. What kind of land business do I want to have? What kind of property do I want to buy? Do I want the two? There's two real basic types of land. And this is, you know, like Jill said earlier, 101 stuff. There's rural vacant land, you know, and we've all gotten in a car and driven out of town and you're looking around saying, who the hell owns all this property out here? And how much does it cost? I bet I can get it kind of cheap. That was my light bulb moment in the 90s. And I'm like, somebody owns all this property.
Right.
They're going to, one of these people, they don't want it anymore. They're just going to give it to me. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And it happens to our members every day. So you've got rural vacant land, and you've got property that is, let's say, more urban, but I don't know, picture kind of a small town in Texas where there's property everywhere. Some of it's maybe being farmed. It doesn't have to be Texas. It could be Virginia, Massachusetts, Michigan, anywhere. So it's higher priced because more people live there, but the sentiment's still the same from the owner. I just don't want it anymore. So those two types of property types are kind of different on how you choose which county. So the very first thing that I do, even to this day, and I did it back in the 90s, is I get it on a website. Back then it was a map. And I look for price. I look for properties that are for sale. And I look for a county. I'll come back to Texas. It's just an example. Texas and California, for whatever reason, seem to be kind of similar for picking these counties. There's ones that are densely populated, like Dallas and Los Angeles. And then there's ones pretty quickly that get kind of rural. But what I'm looking for is consistency in pricing. That's really, really, really important. I look on realtor.com, redfin.com, check land.com. These are all CoStar products now. Realtor and Redfin are not, but CoStar products include land and farm, LandWatch, and land.com. Mm-hmm. Their mapping functions on the ones that I just, the CoStar properties, aren't as sophisticated as Redfin and Realtor, so I tend to see things spatially, so I just look for some consistency. So when I find a place that I can see a price per acre is relatively consistent, let's say $200 to $400 for sale property, that's when I start to pay attention.
I love this. I'm glad that we're getting this much detail, because I've done consulting calls even recently where I pull up and I'm looking, they're like, why isn't this selling? Or they're trying to justify the price, and their prices are all over the place. I'm like,
yes.
How do you get it's and there's a lot for sale. That's a whole nother thing. Yeah. But it's hard when there are prices all over the place. So you're just saying move on.
So for rural vacant land,
say I have $1,000 an acre and $100 an acre, move on.
So a rural, they're very two different things.
Okay.
For rural vacant land, if you want to buy just crazy cheap property for $100 an acre and resell it for $200 to $300, which is a way a lot of people start out. I did. We don't do that anymore, just because it's the same amount of energy goes into buying a property for $1,000 and selling it for $2,500 as buying it for $100,000 and selling it for $250. And that just happens to be where we are in our career now. But for rural vacant land, you want to look for a lot of, and use countywise.com. I put this free site together for, you can just log in there and get tons of data on counties. You want to look for properties that have, the county itself has a history of a back tax situation where a lot of properties have been posted. So you got a back tax scenario. Number two, you want to see a lot of activity. So more properties posted, and you want to make sure you're getting it so cheap that you're at the bottom of that list. And we'll talk later in the week about pricing. So a lot of activity, a lot of properties for sale, incredibly inexpensive back tax activity. And so you're going to find those types of scenarios out west. It's basically rural desert property. Or maybe in Florida, you'll see a lot of cheap areas. Or you'll see these kind of subdivision properties all speckled out all over the country, that where there's just usually a high HOA. So I don't want to get into the tremendous amount of detail here, but once you find a high activity, super low price county, and you're brand new and you want to just test this out with rural vacant land, or if you're like one of our members, Luke Smith, who's just made a career out of this product type, you can do really well there. What you're looking for, and you need to send mailers out, and we'll talk about that later in the week, very, very inexpensively. You know, less than $100 an acre in a lot of cases. For the second product type, which I think is a lot more prosperous long-term and a lot more profitable per deal, like that small town in Texas, you wanna find less properties for sale. It's almost the opposite. Less properties that are actually available for sale. In some cases, we did a case study on Bullitt County, I think Kentucky it was,
mm-hmm.
with our group members.
Mm-hmm.
There were like 9 properties for sale in the whole county. And that came out to be, we had a contest about pricing and stuff, mm-hmm. and
that was fun.
That was a good, it ended up being like, wow, we got to the end of that. I'm like, I should mail this county.
Yep.
So very few properties for sale, very low back tax activity. You want to look for consistency in pricing, although it's not imperative. And then what we do is we break the county down into chunks. And then we look at separate parts of the county. The more myopic you can get in geography for a county, and with this type of product, the better you're going to be. And then, of course, you pull the data and test it. And if you're lucky enough, this is my final point, it will be a county that Redfin covers. Redfin only covers the counties that they believe are prosperous for them as real estate agents. Bear in mind, everybody's a real estate agent here except us and except you. So if you can pull the data on Redfin, you can. There's a very easy, this is difficult to do without doing a screenshot. You can download the data for what's been sold and what's listed from a land standpoint and really, really, really do a great job of analyzing what's available. You have a crystal ball. You know what it's going to sell for. You know how much you can buy it. And our advanced members follow this kind of protocol for this product type with Redfin, almost all of them. That's how you pick a county. So is that too detailed and too brainy?
No,
that's
great.
That's the truth.
I want to add one little thing.
Yeah.
One point I want to really, really, really hit this home, because we mentioned back tax activity. We did not say male only back tax properties.
Yeah. Never
I want
to
hit that home.
She's right.
You're only looking to see that there's movement in there, or there's people that are walking away from properties, that kind of a thing. I was talking to someone about that just the other day. They're like, where do I get a back tax list? I said, hold on a moment. Please don't focus only on back tax property unless you want to deal with all the problem property. I'll be over here living at my house on the beach, sending offers and buying property from people that pay their taxes. So you want to don't exclude them, but don't only mail them.
So there are two other people in this space who have very successful histories, and they have taught in the past just to mail back tax property a long time ago. And I don't know if they teach that still, but it's kind of over. It's kind of very 20th century. You want to
if you want to really struggle with deals, then do that. But I just want to make that
point. It's tough to, most of the people, where there's high back tax environments, the number one reason is that the owners have passed away.
Yeah.
And no one cares. So the property's still in their name. They're gone. Maybe the sibling, the heirs to their estate, they don't care. Or there's nobody there to receive the letter. So, and then you can't do a deal. It's really, Jill's exactly right. We had a guy in our lot about a year ago do a whole huge, like, there's
case
these are the
study,
kinds of crazy
case
people.
Tested this
these
theory.
Are the brainy, wacko people, just like me, that are in our group. I did a whole massive, like, career-long study about mailing only back tax property and then doing it our way, which is mail everything when you get it. And he said this way's better, and he gave us all the data. I had to dig that out somewhere.
I know. It was on social media a while back. We had it on Facebook. But, yeah, he put in there, my deals were faster, they were better, I made more money. The ROI was better.
Yeah, because
it was 18 things that were better.
In the end, all the stuff I just said is to one end. Person gets the offer, they look at it, they talk, they're having a cup of coffee at their breakfast table, they turn to their spouse and say, we just got an offer for that property that your dad used to own that we got when he passed away in Montana, and it's for like $8,000, and I know it's worth $25,000, but do you want $8,000 next week? I do. Mm-hmm. And the spouse says, heck yes, I do. And then in the end, you know, now you're buying a $50,000 to $80,000 piece of property. And the product type in land doesn't matter. And for houses, it's the same way. They just want to get out of it quickly, and they don't care about the value. So this is a lot of talking for almost a half hour about how to get to that coffee table moment.
Thank you. Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show. Tuesdays and Thursdays, don't fret. We're over at the House Academy Show.
Tomorrow on the episode on the House Academy Show is called How to Find a Good Zip Code to Send Blind Offers to Homeowners. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I kind of like that. Yeah. Whew. I just got to sit back and let Professor Steven take over.
Is it too much, honestly?
No. Are you kidding? This is great information. I know how it is when you get on a roll. I do it too. There's times I have my moments where I'm like, back off. Don't interrupt me. You know what I'm on a roll. That's where I saw you going with that. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to interrupt his train of thought. He's got this really good flow going, and he's got a lot to get out. Let it go.
You just get, you know, every time, once a month, not once. Well, about once a month, I talk to our customer service team, and I ask them this question. What are people asking about? And they're like, yeah, they're asking about pricing and how to find a county. Mm-hmm. And then the next month is, what are they asking about? Pricing and how to find a county.
Yeah, it's true. The Land Academy Show remains commercial-free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.